If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. It's match day. And we've got lots of news for you this morning. Embargoed section of Ruben Amorim's press conference coming out. He's frustrated at the Mainoo talk. We'll talk about what he's got to say about that. He's called Luke Shaw world class. We'll be going to Data Man Dean in a minute to understand what that's all about. And also, Man United have been linked to Cologne wonderkid Almada, who, I'll tell you what, if this is true, Bundesliga bridge on That's Football, we'll be very excited. And that's me, so I'm very excited that we might be looking at him. I don't know where he'd fit in at United, but I mean, I think he's special. I do. I mean, I've seen him a couple of times for Cologne and he reminds me a little bit of a young Rooney, but you can't say that, but you can. We'll talk about that as well. Also, Martinez, a little bit coming out about Martinez this morning. A huge boost for the Wolves game as well, because João Gomes got a yellow card last night. He can't play on Monday, and they are already crap. I mean, they could not score. They can't score. They've scored 7 goals in the Premier League. They're crap. They're absolutely crap. But that's a positive for us as well. Is Bruno going to play, says Steph. I'm not really worried about this injury stuff. What will be, que sera, que sera. You can get one of these. This is a Christmas jumper you can get. We re-released it, and it's one of my favourites. It's on United Stand Shopify. It's to commemorate. It's a Christmas treble winners jumper. But as you can see, all the baubles have got the numbers and names of all the players. Bloody love that. Beckham, Kane, Neville, York, Cole, Scholes, they're all there. Check it out. Check it out. Right, I want to get into the show straight away. I want to talk about this Mainoo frustration that clearly you can see Amrim is now getting more and more blunt about Mainoo when he gets asked. Even I think it's a wasteless exercise, but we know what the journalists are like. They're lazy. They ask the same thing every week, and they've been asking him about Mainoo, and it's yeah, que sera is not a player that we're looking at. It's from a song. What will be, Mr. Brainfreeze. Que sera, sera, wherever will be, we're going to Wembley. Que sera, sera. I've probably got the words wrong. But look, I think, let me just, before we start talking about Mainoo, I want to talk about, let me just ban John Tan. Let me get rid of them. There we go. Always good to get rid of the trolls early on. Love that. So, yeah, before I talk about this Mainoo frustration that Amrim clearly has, you know, he's very blunt in his interview last night. I want to just go to Data Dean, because we've had a quote, which we'll get into in a minute, about Luke Shaw and some amazing stats that I think Data Dean wants to talk about as well. But Amrim did, it's not a troll, Amrim described Luke Shaw as world class. Now, we're going to go to Data Dean to see what he meant by that.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, Mark, I think what's happened is the United PR team wants a bit of positivity around Luke Shaw. So they basically said to Amrim, when he's not listening, Luke Shaw's doing really well in a World Cup year, and he's heard Luke Shaw's world class. So what he really should have said is the World Cup year, and Luke Shaw's doing well because of the World Cup. Because world class... He's talking out of his ass.
Thank you very much, Dean. We'll talk about more stats around Luke Shaw in a moment. But world class, I mean, come on. Ain't bloody world. He's not world class. He might have been world class 2.5 years ago as a left back. But he ain't bloody world class now, is he? Come on. He's blowing out his arse in the second half. How can you go from waste of space, according to Gary Neville, to world class in a week? Come on. Come on. No moaning Myrtle tonight, Bruno. Let's see, says Ray. I'm not convinced about that. Not convinced about that. Anyway, let me talk about this frustration. I think it's really obvious now that Ruben Amorim is just getting very, very frustrated about the Mainoo situation and the constant questions. And this is what he had to say about it when he was asked about Mainoo again. He said, look, on whether Mainoo will get a chance before January, he said, we will see. We could talk about Cobby. We could talk about Ugarte. They're almost also not playing. Xerxes is playing because we've had injuries. Football is like that. You need to be ready when the opportunity comes. I just want to win. I don't look at faces. I don't look at names or faces. I just want to win. And I pick the players who give us the best chance. If you're ready and you're performing well, you stay in the team. I won't remove anyone without a reason. It's the same for Cobby as it is for everyone else. I choose the best 11 for each game. And I think he's becoming more and more, as I said, irritated by the Mainoo question. And I think it's becoming more and more obvious that there is a major issue there, because you could detect it in the interview with Amrim that he's just so belligerent to it now. He's actually sort of backing himself into a bit of a corner. I mean, there's a new kit release from United today. I think it's to do with commemorating the youth and Jimmy Murphy, and Mainoo's all over that. And you sort of look at that and go, okay, you want us to buy something that's about the youth, and you know, that's absolutely fantastic, and it commemorates a legend of this football club, but you're using Mainoo, who doesn't even play. You know, it's there's sort of a contradiction there. You know, this football club's built on youth and this, that and the other, and you're using Mainoo, and we can't even get him minutes in the team. Now, I haven't got a problem with that. I've got a problem with that. The manager's got to manage, but he's been asked about it every week. And it's very, very clear that he's getting more and more frustrated. And I think that, look, the trouble is, last week he said Mainoo deserves to play. You know, he's so good in training, he deserves to play. 2 weeks ago, he said, oh, it's so hard leaving Mainoo out because he's training so well. He's a first team player. So you're going to keep getting those questions asked when you're saying that a player is doing really well and then you don't use them. He's now saying, He's basically flipped now. He's now saying he's not good enough to play, because what he's saying is, you've got to give me a reason to remove somebody, and I choose the best 11 for each game. So he's basically saying, look, Mainoo's not good enough. I mean, that's the big statement, isn't it? I choose the best 11 for each game. So he's not good enough to start for Manchester United. He said that you stay in the team if you're ready and you're performing well, and I won't remove anyone without a reason. And look, we can all have our own opinions, but in my opinion, the midfield, and I'll be generous here, has been shit for 50% of the season. I think we've won games when our midfield's been shit. Primarily Crystal Palace last week, I thought the midfield was shit. I thought the midfield was shit against Everton. So let's take the Everton game. So this is where the contradiction is for me. In the week of the Everton game, last week, he said that Mainoo's playing so well in training, it's so hard to leave him out. That's hot on the heels of an Everton shitfest, right? He still leaves him out. He's now saying, I can't get Mainoo into the team because I picked the best 11, and if you're ready and performing well, you stay in the team. I won't remove anyone without a reason. Mate, I don't really know what he's talking about here. I think honesty is the best policy on this, because you're basically saying, I picked the best team to win the game, and I won't remove people without a reason, and if you're performing well, you'll play. But after the Everton game, you said Mainoo was brilliant in training, and we've just played absolutely shite against Everton, and you still didn't pick him. So you're contradicting yourself. You're acting like we're winning 4-0 every week. We just lost to Everton. You're saying about you'll only remove people if you've got a reason, and I won't remove people who are playing well. Casemiro and Bruno were shite against Everton, and you still don't remove them. So look, I'd rather have the truth on this, because I'm tired of it as well, and you can see Amrim's frustrated. Don't say things in interviews like, well, I can't put him in the team because the team's doing really well, and I won't remove people from the team when they're doing really well. You didn't do it for Everton. You didn't do it for Brentford. You've not done it loads of times. So just tell the truth. It doesn't matter how badly Casemiro or Bruno play. You don't want to pick Mainoo or Ugarte because you don't trust them. So you know, that's sort of where I am with it. So the press can keep asking him about it. He's going to get more and more frustrated about it. In honesty, he probably can't tell the truth, because if he tells the truth, he devalues the players ahead of the January transfer window. But look, if I was a journalist, why would I keep asking him about Mainoo? We were festering, steaming turd against Everton in the midfield, and then he still didn't change it for Palace. So he's just not going to change it, is he? He's not going to change it. So I think he is. I agree with Pete. I think Amrim is talking shit. But I think part of it is because he keeps getting asked in a... Realistically, how would you answer it though, Pete? If I was asked a question about Mainoo, and I know that I'm probably looking to get rid of him, I do have to be slightly positive and say, look, you know, I'm picking my best team and, you know, the competition's good. But the problem is in the midfield, it's crap most games. So, he, you know, and he's not being... And it, look, I will concede my opinion here. I back the manager. He's allowed to pick whatever team he wants. And if he doesn't want Mainoo, we should move him on. That's very, very sad. But from my point of view, certainly after that Everton game, if I'm not changing my midfield after that game, there's no point having Mainoo and Ugarte. I mean, that's sort of like... That was like an up yours to the Man United shirt from Casemiro and Bruno and every other player. They're very lucky that they got picked for the next game. So, look, we just need to get to January. We 100% need to let Mainoo go and get somebody else in. That's what needs to happen. Amrim is a bullshitter riding on luck, says Keel. Hi, Mark. I watch the shows all the time, but never catch you live. I lost my mum last week and you've kept me going. Hopefully we win tonight. Thank you, says Shay. Well, thank you, sir. And I'm very, you know, very touched by your message, super chat. And also, obviously, that's a very recent loss of somebody I presume is very, very close to you. So thank you for sharing that with the community. And I'm sure you'll get a lot of... comments in the chat in this great community as well, and I'm glad that you found something that you feel part of, and long may that continue. Thank you for being part of our community, Shay. And we're live every day, so you know when you're going through your difficult times, we are here for you in whatever small way that is. Which reminds me, YouTube have started something, and I'm very frustrated by this. I've seen a lot of, I've had a few messages from our American viewers. Apparently, you know, on Spotify, like they do your year in review, YouTube are doing year in review this year. But you go onto YouTube and you go to your U tab, and it will give you your year in review. And a lot of people have got United Stand as their number one viewed channel. But I can't. I don't think we've had it rolled out in Europe yet. But if you're in the North America, apparently you can get your year in review now on YouTube. WJ Barrett says, Mark, what if Mainoo just ain't that good? Standards are on the floor and Amrim is frustrating, but I can't judge this team without two world-class midfielders. I completely agree with you. I personally don't think Mainoo's shit, but if Amrim thinks he's shit, then he's got to move him on. But where I agree with you is that we do need two class midfielders, 100%. Simply Red says, he doesn't look at names. What a crock of shite. Bruno plays regardless of performance. Also comments on Josh, so unfair, and really exposing of Amrim. On Xerxes, really unfair. Let me just go back to that. So Xerxes only playing because of injuries. Football is like that. I mean, I know what you're saying. To be honest, I hadn't really picked up on that. I suppose that is quite derogatory to Xerxes. But I don't think he meant it in that way. And I don't think he meant like Xerxes wouldn't be playing if we didn't have injuries. Well, I think he does mean it in that way. But I don't think he means it in the way that, oh, fucking hell, Xerxes is playing because we're injuries. I mean, I wouldn't have any anywhere near the team in normal circumstances. I think what he meant is that there's been injuries in areas that have allowed Xerxes to play. And then he gets his opportunity. I think that's what he meant. I don't think he meant, you know, Xerxes is a load of shit and he's only playing because we've got injuries. Because to be honest with you, if Sesko was fit and Cunha had been fit, he probably wouldn't have played. That's how far he is down the pecking order. So you've got to, sometimes injuries present an opportunity, because I don't think he was going to get anywhere near the team without it. John says, good morning, Mark. Morning, sir. When the AFCON comes along, could you put Martinez left centre-back, Shaw left wing and Dorgu on right wing as Mazraoui, Ahmad and Mbeumo are gone, says John. Well, Amrim did speak about Luke Shaw. And Old Trafford Malik says, the more questions about Cobby, the less he'll play. Look, Amrim's stubborn. Amrim is stubborn. And, you know, I've never thought about it like that. And again, this is why the community is so good, because you raise interesting questions. And this is a rhetorical question. I'm asking the question without knowing the answer. Do you think, and it's very obvious if you watch that interview that Amrim is getting frustrated about Mainoo questions. Do you think that the more Amrim is asked about Mainoo, the less likely he's going to pick him because of stubbornness? Question mark. I don't know. You know me, probably better than I know myself sometimes. You know, sometimes if somebody says, you've missed my super chat, read it, it's really good. I will read it, but I'm not a bloody clapping seal. I'm not going to do it on demand. I'll do it when I'm ready. I won't do it when you tell me to. And that's stubbornness. So some people would go, oh, I'm going to go and read it right now because they want to please. Whereas I'll go, I will read it, but I will do it when I'm ready. And I think, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Amrim could be like that. I mean, he's very stubborn about formation, system, picking Bruno in the midfield. So, you know, maybe, you know, maybe he is. Prod says, isn't a rhetorical question a question you ask while knowing the answer to it? Maybe. You're more intelligent than me. Morning, Mark. As an academy coach, there's a huge difference between what you do in training and what you do in games, as Slow Sports News. And Tyrus has gifted a membership as well. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's talk. We've got Data Man Dean ready to come back in here. And I know a lot of you like Data Man Dean. He basically, you know, he's the data guy. You know, he loves long throw-ins and all that shit. But somebody did just ask about Luke Shaw playing as a left wing back for Manchester United. This is what Amrim said. He said it's different. You have to train in that position before considering putting another player in that position. You have to train, or he's got to play a few minutes there. But he could do it if we need him, and we might need him in this system. He can play in that position. I call absolute bullshit on that. Absolute bullshit. I do not think for 1 minute that Luke Shaw can play as a left wing back or a left back anymore. I think it's total horseshit. I don't know why United are playing the PR game for Luke Shaw. I mean, I don't know whether he's paying them or whether they're just, I don't know, whether there's a new contract. Maybe they're worried he's going to get injured again. I don't know why we're on this Luke Shaw PR train at the moment. I mean, it's quite nauseating. But there's no way he can play at left wing back. No way. Absolutely none. I watch him, you know, I was having this chat with Ricky last week. And, you know, he loves Luke Shaw. So, you know, this is brilliant. You know, I don't love Luke Shaw. Ricky does love Luke Shaw. And, you know, we're both on the United Stand, so you get both slices of the pie. Ricky thinks bloody Luke Shaw could play in the treble-winning side. Ricky thinks Luke Shaw could bloody play up front for Real Madrid. I think thinks Luke Shaw could run the bloody... could do a better job than Trump and Starmer combined. Probably could do a better job than Keir Starmer. But the reality is, he can't play left wing-back anymore. He's factually blowing out his arse in the last half an hour of games. Even Palace. I've figured Luke Shaw out this season. He's always good in the first half, and in the second half, he drops off. Second half was where he got that stupid yellow card against Palace. Second half against Everton was where Gary Neville called him a waste of space. He is blowing out of his arse in the second half of one game a week. One game a week. And people think he can play left wing back, one of the most challenging positions in football. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He can't do that anymore. If he had the fitness, he'd be very good at it. And that's where I'd play him. But you know why I know Luke Shaw can't play left wing back? Because if he could, you'd play him there. You're telling me Luke Shaw's not better than Dolo and Dorgu? 100%. Luke Shaw of 3 years ago would be one of the best left wing backs in the league. He's very good at it. Very, very good at it. And if he could do it, we'd play him there. We don't need him at left centre back. You could easily put Mazraoui there. You could put Yoro there. We could have played Maguire there. Luke Shaw's playing left centre back because he can't play left wing back anymore because his body won't allow it. So that's complete and utter horseshit that's going to happen. Absolutely not. But also, I don't know what it was. Again, we've had so many clips of Luke Shaw over the week on the Man United page and, you know, so many articles written about him. And now Amrin was, you know, fucking basically did a monologue. He said he adapts to the position playing in a back three really well because sometimes he's playing with the ball like a fullback. He's defending deeper. He's smart. And for me, I already said, I think he's a world-class player. He needs more continuity. Playing one game a week helps a lot. So Luke Shaw is a world-class player, according to Ruben Amrin. I think he's got confused. I think he's got confused with Luke Shaw's playing well because it's World Cup year, and somehow he's turned it into Luke Shaw is a world-class player. But there ain't no way he's... I said about 3 years ago, I think Luke Shaw is one of the best left-backs in the world, and I got absolute pelters. He ain't fucking world-class now. He can't even get in the England team as a left-sided centre-back. He's not world-class. He's not a world-class left centre-back. I mean, Ricky's going mad this morning. I've ruined his day, but he's not world-class. I think he was one of the best left-backs in the world around the, you know, when he was Roberto Carlos, but not he's not a left side. No, he's not world-class. He's not a world-class centre-back. No way. I look at people like Gabriel at Arsenal. He's probably bordering on being one of the best centre-backs in the world as a left-sided centre-back. Is he world-class? You could have that debate, but Luke Shaw's nowhere near him. Nowhere near him. Not a world-class club playing in once a week, though, is he? Says Steve. And let me go through this. Data Dean. Yeah. Right, Dean, you've done it. One of you lot yesterday said that I'd love to know the stats for Luke Shaw's availability when it's an international tournament year. So I've set Data Dean a task here, and it is quite interesting. So,
well, thanks, Mark. Basically, what I've done is I've looked at every year Premier League appearances for Luke Shaw, and interestingly, straight away, World Cup year, this year, he's already played 13 games for Manchester United. Last season, he played 7. So he's nearly played. If he plays tonight for Manchester United, he's basically played double the games already than he did last year. Now, what's the difference between last year and this year? Well, there's a World Cup at the end of it, and he's already played double the amount of games this season than he did in an entire season last year. Well, there's something a little bit fishy about that, Mark, but it gets better. So the year before that, 23-24, Euros year, he played 12 games. Now, that does seem quite low, but then again, he did go to the Euros injured as well. He didn't discriminate. He was injured a lot for Manchester United, and he was also injured for England, but still turned up to play in the final. In the 22-23 year, some people might think, well, that's not a Euros or World Cup year, Dean. What are you talking about? He played 31 games in the 22-23 season. But the geniuses and data people and geeks will know that the 22-23 season was actually a World Cup year because Qatar World Cup was played in winter 22 and he played 31 games in that season. It's getting a little bit fishy because the previous season there was no international tournament and he only played 20 games. And then the year before that, in the 2021 season, he played 32 games, which was also a Euros season. So statistically, when you look at the last few years for Luke Shaw, he has a tendency to play a lot more games for Manchester United when there's an England tournament at the end of it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to Data Dean. Effectively, there is a correlation between Luke Shaw's increased Manchester United output of appearances when there is a Euros or a World Cup. The Euros at the end of 21, he played 32 games. The following season, he only played 20. The season after that, there was a World Cup. He played 31 games. And the season after that, he only played 12. Last season, he only played 7 times. This season, World Cup year, he's already played 13. So there is... Somebody raised the question yesterday. There is a direct correlation between a World Cup or Euros year and Luke Shaw playing a lot more games. It's factual. So thank you very much to the person who asked that. And thank you very much to Data Dean. That's not my normal voice. If you tuned in there, you're probably going, what the hell's happened to him? Is he having a fit? No, that's just Data Dean, who was on the show last night talking about why long throw-ins are such a good thing. Artak says, morning, Mark. What? Put it on a tweet. It's a match day. I don't think I'm going to put it on a tweet, but there is a direct correlation between increased appearances from Luke Shaw when it's a World Cup or Euros year. You can't move away from that. There you go. Morning, what? Mark, what do you think about Chelsea and Arsenal going in for the Ecuadorian wonder kid while we fall for prejudice and end up going for average signings like the Colombian kid? I don't know what you're talking about there, Artak, but you've done a super chat and I really don't get the context. Nick P says it's so grim having to discuss Luke Bloody Shaw in 2025. Chelsea would have retired him 4 years ago and turned him into a pundit. We're still dreaming, says Nick P. I actually think, Nick, you've just sparked an instantaneous opinion of mine that wasn't premeditated at all. I think you make a great point. You know, what's this show about so far? We're talking about 20-year-old Mainoo who can't get in the team even when midfielders are playing shit. We're talking about Yoro that's probably going to get dropped again. We're talking about Dorgu that gets dropped for Dalot. So effectively, we've got young players who are really struggling under this manager who won't give them opportunities or drops them a lot. And then we've got people like Luke Shaw, Dalot, who are in the team as often as he can get them in there. And what message does that send out? Because realistically, United aren't going to win the league this year. We're not going to win the league next year. We might not be in Europe next year. So it's not like we're in a strong position. We desperately need to build a future that is sustainable and successful. And I would say the likes of Dorgu, Yoro, Mainoo are a better bet than people like Dalot and Shaw. And yet it's people like Dalot and Shaw that Amorim is building with, and he is, you know, neglecting the players that you would think might be part of the future. That's even more incredible when you consider that Yoro, Mainoo, and Dorgu have had nothing to do with the Solskjaer era, even the Ten Hag era, really. You know, they've had nothing to do with past failures. But world-class Luke Shaw has been here for 11 years. He was bought by Van Gaal. Van Gaal, Jose. I mean, Jose couldn't fucking stand him, could he? Oli, Ranić, Ten Hag, Amorim. He's been here for the whole lot. Dalot's been here since Jose? Did Dalot buy Jose? Or was it Oli? Anyway, some of these players have been here for bloody ages. And what, I don't know whether this was your point, Nick, but why it sparked a point in me is, why have we got another manager who is making the same mistake as Ten Hag, the same mistake as Oli, utilising players? I almost feel like I'm watching UK Gold. I feel like I've seen this before. I've seen managers come in and turn their back on what a real future is to rely on players that have already fucked it up in the past. And I find that
I find that strange. I find it strange that we have a manager sat there talking about a player being world class, who's played 300 games in 11 years, when Bruno Fernandes has played 309 games in five, talking about him being world class like he's part of the future. And he's, what, 30 years of age? It's strange. It's strange. And I think most United fans I talk to, like me, want us to win, want us to progress. But there's a bit of a confusion about what the actual model is, because there's winning and building, and there's winning and surviving. And at the moment, I feel like winning is the most important thing. But how sustainable is it? It feels like it's winning to survive rather than winning to thrive. You know, I don't know what the future plan is. Apparently, Jose bought Dalot in 2018.
Now it's time for a little word from today's podcast sponsor. And as a preview, they have a great discount for you. It's been a long season so far, and after a year of grinding, you've earned a little something special for yourself. This upcoming festive season is all about taking a break, recharging, and actually enjoying the things you want. And that's where Air Up comes in. Air Up lets you drink plain water that tastes full of flavour through scent alone. No sugar, no additives, just simple hydration made better. And for someone who spends as much time talking football as I do, it's been a great addition to the routine. If you want to try it for yourself, hit the link in the show notes or visit airup.link/theunitedstand. And of course, you can use the code GOLD and you get an amazing 10% off at checkout. So what are you waiting for? Smash the link in the show notes or visit airup.link/theunitedstand and elevate your hydration game today.
Could the Arteta relied on youth, he's relying on failures, says Old Trafford Malik. And Glenn says, could the answer be that when Shaw has played more football, he pays for it with more injuries the next season, says Glenn. Yeah, could be. I mean, look, as I said, there's a direct correlation between Luke Shaw playing a lot more games in an England international year and then not, and playing less games the year after. Thank you very much. Have they hired Amrin because he can bullshit, says Keel, and not a world-class club playing once a week. I've done that one as well. Game day is constant anxiety, still never knowing how the players will show up, similar to how we all felt with back passes to Onana, says Raphael. I'm very excited about the game tonight. I really am. I think there's such a great opportunity. And look, as I said, I will always speak honestly about the ownership of this football club, the manager of this football club, the players of this football club. I don't trust these players. I'm not going to wait for them to fail again to tell you that. I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. If they win, fair play. If they lose, you know, what a surprise. I do not trust them at all. They cannot be trusted. Like, I walk into this West Ham game going, we should win this. But we walked into the Everton game and we walked out with nothing. So if that can happen again. Of course it can. Surely it won't happen again. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem to happen. It shouldn't happen every game. So hopefully it'll be a convincing win tonight. But what an opportunity it is. You win the game, you go to 24 points, you're level with Chelsea. Obviously we haven't got their goal difference, but you're fifth in the league on merit. I mean, what a great opportunity that is. It's up for grabs. It's up for grabs because everybody's beating everybody. You know, Sunderland getting that point at Anfield last night, Villa winning at Brighton. You know, it's completely and utterly for grabs. And look, you know what? I sort of look at that league table and I go, okay, we go up to fifth by beating West Ham. Then we've got Wolves who, I mean, I think I'm right in saying Burnley have scored 14 goals this season, which is crap. Wolves have scored 7. Like, I had my eye on the Wolves game last night. It's not that they're a terribly bad, you know, they're competitive Wolves, but they can't score goals. And João Gomes got himself suspended. So you'd look at that, fifth place. Wolves should be a win. You know, never know. You never know, but it should be a win. And then you've got Bournemouth at home who are terrible. So, I mean, I know we've got to go to Villa after that, but if you put 9 points on the board, by the time we go to Villa, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we were above Villa. Villa have got Arsenal at the weekend. So that, you know, that would put us three, you know, we could be above Villa by the time we play Villa. So, you know, what a great opportunity it is. And, but what I would say is, I think, you know, some people don't have the mental capacity to understand this. We can win and be in fourth place. And I can still sit here and say, I don't know what the plan is. Like, you know, we've all seen teams get into the top four and go, that's not sustainable. Of course we have. You give me a team that's... Look at Nottingham Forest last year. They were in the top four all season. They didn't finish in the top four. And it was never going to be sustainable because the style of play of Nuno was basically park the bus and get a goal on the break. And when it got to the business end of the season, people woke up and went, well, we're not just going to attack you and let you counter us. How's about you do something? And they start a drop in points. So I do look at United and go, what a great opportunity to get into the top five or four. But I don't think it's sustainable. I really don't. I don't think there's a lot of things that are sustainable about this team at the moment. I think that's just my take on it at the moment. Cap or Die says, do you trust Amorim? I mean, that's a great question. I don't trust the players. I definitely don't trust the owners. Do I trust Amorim? Well, I think in the world of trust, do we know enough about Amorim to trust him? I mean, I like him. I like him. But I wouldn't say he doesn't do things that I don't agree with. So trust is a big thing. I don't know enough about him to trust him. I mean, where's the style of play? Why are you playing Bruno in the midfield? Why are you coming out with statements like Luke Shaw's world class? I mean, is it just because behind the scenes he's desperately trying to paper over the cracks? You know, it could be that. I think Amorim's somebody I want to trust. Whereas the players, as a collective, I don't trust this squad. I do trust some of the players, but I don't trust them as a squad. I mean, look, Amorim did say something about the top five race. This is what he said on being close to fifth and its realistic expectation. I think you'll find this one really interesting. So, you know, he was asked, we're close to fifth place. Is it a realistic expectation? Now, first of all, I've got to say, in light of what we said yesterday, and we have still got about to talk about this Cologne player as well. Why would a journalist say to a Man United manager, you're close to fifth place, is that a realistic expectation? I mean, why has the standards at this football club been lowered so much that a journalist would ask a Man United manager, is fifth place a realistic expectation? This is Manchester United Football Club, and we're contemplating and debating whether fifth place is a realistic expectation. Now, you might say, hey, hold on a minute. You said fifth place would be a good season for United. Looking at the players I don't trust, yeah, I think fifth place would be a good season. But looking at the wage bill, we basically have the fourth best paid squad in the league. Looking at the midfield, we have the second most expensive midfield in the league. So you're telling me that fifth place is an aspirational target that might not be achievable? Come on, we're Manchester United and we pay a lot of money to these players. So it should be a demand. But this is what Amorim said. I understand the question. If the table is there and you have the opportunity with one game a week, you need to go for it. But when you look at the table and everyone is like 2 points behind, everything can change. That is a manager that does not have the courage of his convictions in his team. And I think it's a very political answer. But that is a manager who will not commit to saying fifth place is a realistic expectation. What he's basically saying is, you look at the league, you look at the fact that we've got one game a week, and it's, you know, I understand why people would say we should be going for fifth place, but look at how close people are, you know, things can change. So again, I think he's clever in the sense that he refuses to say that this team is even fifth place ready, because it might not be, which is a scary proposition from an honest manager. Like, whether you think we should be fifth or not, our manager really doesn't agree that we're a fifth place team at the moment. He thinks we might be, but also realises that we might not be. And I think that's an honest answer. That's what I said at the start of the season. I don't think that fifth place is guaranteed, but I think we should be going for it. The question comes down to, can you trust the players? But 100% we should be getting fifth based on what we pay them, based on the reputation, based on the squad. Like, you know, if Luke Shaw's world class and Bruno... if Luke Shaw's world class, how many world class players have we got? And I think that's, you know, this is where you need to be very careful when you class people as world class, because if Amorim thinks Luke Shaw's world class, then he surely thinks De Ligt's world class. He definitely thinks Bruno's world class. Does he think Casemiro's world class as well? And Mbeumo? If we've got five or six or four world-class players, we shouldn't be fighting for fifth. So it's what I mean about, you know, sometimes the answers will be bullshit, really. And we've got to be very, very careful around that. Right, let me talk to you about Al Mahler. This story was in Court Offside today, coming in from, I think it was Adam Brassel, who's a European correspondent, it came from, basically saying that you look at where Al Mahler might end up from Cologne, and Manchester United does look like a good fit. Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea aren't really looking for that type of a player at the moment. He's like a wide forward, and effectively Man United's name's been mentioned. Also, another story coming in this morning that Brighton could be interested in him as well in January, with a deal that could go up to £30 million. The club's renowned recruitment department has placed Al Mahler firmly at the top of their wish list and believe he's destined for a move to a big European club. I've also heard, I mean, look, we covered the Bundesliga on That's Football highlight shows later on this afternoon. I'm doing that live, and then we've got our Friday night match tomorrow. He's a really interesting player. Really interesting player. At Cologne, newly promoted. I think he's, I get the feeling he's 19. I thought he was 17, but I get the feeling he's 19. He has got similar traits to Rooney. I mean, I'm not saying he's Rooney by any shape or form, but very interesting player. That's the sort of teenager Man United should be buying. Players like Rooney at Everton, who are already playing first team football, not teenagers who look like they might be the next Caicedo, but have never really played any football yet and need total nurturing. Those players like Al Mahler that are playing first team football already as teenagers that can go straight into your setup. Now, those profile of players are different. I've seen United recruiting a lot of teenagers that are, you know, prospects. They need a lot of nurturing. But players like that, I think they're very, very interesting. It's a bit like Yoro, isn't it? You know, Yoro, ready-made teenager, still got a lot to grow, but ready to play. So look, you know, it might be one worth keeping an eye on, because I think he's an interesting player. And if you've been watching the Bundesliga, you'll know who I'm talking about. But Bayern Munich have been snipping around that one. I mean, whether United have got £30 million to go for a player like that and whether he suits our system as well. I mean, this is what annoys me a little bit sometimes. Our system is so fucking rigid that it doesn't really work if you're a winger. But having said that, Amrim did have a lot of wingers at Sporting, and he'd use them as a 10 or he'd use them as a wing back. So it doesn't necessarily negate buying a winger at Man United, especially if there are somebody like Al Mahler who can play more centrally. So, you know, maybe there is something in it. I certainly hope there is. Keel Robinson says this is the blueprint of Ashworth's plan. Yeah, you know, but you know what? I think Dan Ashworth is one of the most overrated names in English football. You know, worked under Southgate for England at a time where we had a golden generation of players coming through anyway. Went to Newcastle and people wrongly associated him with a lot of Newcastle signings that were good that he actually wasn't responsible for. And then came to Man United and by all accounts suggested we got Southgate. So I don't actually think Ashworth's anything to write home about, Keel, if I'm being honest. Arteta, we've done that one as well. Thank you very much. Match day today, yes, very excited about it. Also, Amrim spoke about Martinez. A little bit about Martinez coming back into the team as well. This is from The Athletic, saying that Martinez is Amrim's type of player and character, as shown by being named in United's six-man leadership group, even when he was injured. Martinez can be snappy at Carrington when he sees situations he feels fall below the standard that appeals to Amrim, who has more than once shown his pain or offered brutal critique at bad performances. Martinez has been known to order younger players out of areas he deems the domain of senior professionals. That edge keeps people on their toes. He was also vocal over the summer, lobbying figures in the hierarchy for Martinez as a goalkeeper to join the club from Aston Villa. Well, look, I think I'd be very surprised if we saw any negativity towards the Butcher. I think he's a very welcome addition back to the team. I know there's a lot of talk about Luke Shaw
being world-class and all that bollocks. But realistically, as soon as Martinez can play 90 minutes, Luke Shaw should be sat on his arse. Martinez is, I think, exactly the right sort of character we need in that team. I also think he's exactly the right sort of player you want to play left centre-back because he can stand into the midfield. So the sooner the better on that one. I don't need a character profiling article to tell me that Martinez is massively important. I just think with Martinez, we're all sort of sat there going, please don't pick up another serious injury, because we know that these things can happen again. So look, he'd be a breath of fresh air, says Garfield. Absolutely. And hopefully this is the sign of him coming back, because I think he's such a important player. G-Man says Martinez is highly overrated. Look, I don't know whether that's because you don't rate Martinez. What I would say is he's not world-class. Lisandro Martinez has never been world-class. He's never been without his weaknesses. I've seen him outpaced. I've seen him beaten in the air. You know, I've seen him, you know, out of position. Like, let's not pretend that Lisandro Martinez was world-class before his injury. It's not about that. I think Lisandro Martinez reminds me a little bit like Ander Herrera, in the sense that what they lack in ability, they make up in personality. I think I would say that Lisandro Martinez, if you were marking him out of 10 as a player, he's probably a 7.58. But then with his personality and leadership and warrior type, you know, approach to it, that pushes him up to an 8.59. And I think that's a fair assessment. I'm not going to sit here and say Lisandro Martinez is one of the best centre backs in the world. I don't think he is that. I don't think every player needs to be that. I think sometimes, you know, it's about, you know, I remember like Nicky Butt for Manchester United. We've had loads of players over the years that may not be as talented as other players, but they bring an aura and a mentality that becomes really important and lifts other players. I mean, he's probably more of a captain than Bruno, if we're being completely honest, in the way that people speak about him. So, yeah, I don't totally disagree with you, G-Man. I'm not saying Martinez back is like the best player in the world, but I think he brings, you know, like Ander Herrera was so important for us. I think Martinez is so important as well. Strull says, we always focus on individuals and Bermo Cunha didn't fix us. A midfielder won't either. The issue is team play. We need to fix passing, movement and mentality, says Strull. And I think, you know, you're not necessarily wrong about that. And I do think that somebody like Lisandro does feed into that, certainly. Also, another thing coming out from James Ducker, saying that in the summer, Ruben Amorim sat down with his staff, including his principal assistant and key lieutenant, Carlos Fernandez, and together they spelt out the importance of Manchester United getting their act together at set pieces. I mean, look, we did need to sort that out. We absolutely did need to sort that out, because it was something that had been a problem for Manchester United. You know, without a shadow of a doubt. I think we did need to sort that one out. And we have, haven't we? But what also worries me is that when he says Delow is good at set pieces, and I'm thinking, well, he can't take free kicks, he's crap at marking the back post, and then I realise he's talking about throw-ins, that makes me want to vomit. So, look, you know, I'm not... Data Dean's gone off to play on his computer, otherwise he'd be back talking about, you know, well, at the end of the day, you know, long throw-ins to the back post statistically cause problems more than a pass. I don't like long throw-ins, and you know, watching Delow run from one side of the pitch to the other to launch a throw-in into the box. You know what? You know what it is? I'm not going to get wound up. It's too early in the morning. However, when I grew up watching Manchester United under Sir Alex Ferguson, and I'm watching this quick movement, and I'm watching chips by Cantona and free kicks from Beckham and volleys from Scholes, I'm not being satisfied by, oh, it's hit his arse and gone in. I mean, I know it's a results business, but God, I just don't. And True Teller says, I like what wins, but that's because you're basic, mate. you're basic. Some people like a slice of toast because it fills them up. Some people like a lasagna because it tastes nice and it fills them up. I want the lasagna. I don't want the toast. I don't want basic football. You know, I want... if I hadn't seen such riches, I could live with being poor. I had a massive period of my life watching players like this lot play brilliant football and win the lot. And when you've seen that, you don't want to watch that. And that's my point. And, you know, maybe it is an age thing. Maybe it's a class thing. But I've seen that and I know it can happen. I don't want to win with that. You know, I don't want Delow to be one of our most important players because he can throw a fucking football far. You know, I don't want that. So I accept we're not the only ones doing it. I watched the Brentford-Arsenal game last night. I had to have a sick bucket there. I couldn't believe the volume of Brentford long throw-ins into the box. And I'm so fucking glad they didn't score any of them. And the longer that goes on, the better. I actually want teams to stop throwing the long ball into the box. And I want teams to stop conceding from it because it's repulsive. But that's an area that he's talking about when he says that Delow's good at set pieces. But we have improved on corners, and corners have always been a big part of the game. And I think we've improved on defending corners as well, because if you think about, well, we conceded against Arsenal on the opening game of the season, and how we didn't concede a corner against Fulham, I'll never know. I mean, they nearly scored multiple corners. So, you know, it could be. But look, you know what? In fairness, what did I say to you about half an hour ago? I think we're going to win a few games now, and I think we're going to get ourselves into the top five, and I think people are going to get very excited. But are we winning to survive, or are we winning to thrive? And I think, I don't know what the long-term vision is at the moment. Like, the style of football has been pretty poor. The games have been pretty poor, but we're finding a way to win. Now, is that going to be sustainable for the next 3 years, or are we actually going to transition into a team that, you know, looks quite scary? Because our biggest result of the season at Anfield doesn't actually look that big when you see that Forest and Sunderland have gone there and you know, beat them and drawn against them. And also, Liverpool could have won that game. Gakpo hit the post twice. So are we actually going to transition into a team that, you know, starts to play good football at some point? Could that start tonight? Could that start tonight? I hope so. Javine says, I always wondered who the next target would be for these crap journalists after Rashford. Unfortunate for Mainoo. No, I don't get that really. I think a lot of the media were obsessed with Rashford in a positive way. And I think they're obsessed with Mainoo in a positive way. I think it's more about they're using Mainoo as a, like Rashford was used, as a tool. You know, they're using Mainoo as, why aren't you picking Mainoo? Why aren't you picking Mainoo? Why aren't you picking Mainoo? Just the same as with Ten Hag. Why aren't you picking Maguire? Why aren't you picking Maguire? Or Rashford. Why aren't you picking Rashford? That's what's being used. I don't think the media disliked Rashford. I don't think the media dislikes Mainoo. I think they're just using him as a tool to go, why aren't you picking him? Why aren't you picking him? Why aren't you picking him? It's like John says, it's like player versus manager, isn't it? And if we've got a manager that's stubborn, I don't think that works well for Mainoo. Praying for throw-ins and then it's NFL for 10 yards, says Garfield. I understand Amrim needs the right players for his system, but is this venture worth dismantling our heritage to achieve it, says Keel. And there's you know, it's a shame we don't have an 8 o'clock show tonight, Keel, because I think that's an interesting question. Like, we're on a pathway to something that every day takes us away from the last 50 years. We've always been a back four. We've always had wingers. We've always played a certain way, whether it's gone well or not. We've always tried to play a certain way. And this Amrim system is something that's completely not part of our history. So the further we continue down that road, the harder it is to go back. But they made that choice. And I think there's no point making that choice and then not backing it up, you know? Okay, so match day tonight. Is it 8 o'clock kickoff tonight? Well, there's no other game, so I presume it's an 8 o'clock kickoff. It is 8 o'clock. Some of them were 8:15, weren't they? So 8 o'clock kickoff tonight, which means countdown to kickoff will be around 6, something like that. Team news will be interesting. I mean, I've not brought anything about injuries because it's match day, but I personally think it's a load of bollocks, by the way. I don't think anybody's injured. I think it's smokescreen. I reckon maybe Bruno was one of the risks, but he won't miss out. There's no way Bruno will miss this game. And I, you know, God knows who the other player is, but I don't think it'll be as significant as we were maybe led to believe yesterday. But look, looking forward to it. We've got to win these next two. I mean, look, Bournemouth could be different. Like, Bournemouth aren't a bad side. They're just going through a bad run. But West Ham and Wolves, this has got to be 6 points. Got to be 6 points. And you know what we said in the international break? Out of our next 10 games, we've got to get 22 points. There's still a possibility. The best we can do is 27 at the moment. So we've still got 5 points leeway to get that minimum of 22. I mean, 22 is a minimum. Anything above that is really good. And we're still on course for that, even though we lost to Everton, because we beat Palace. And look, you know, that Palace result. I mean, look at Chelsea last night. It just shows you how tired teams are when they're having to play every 3 days. And we caught Palace having to play 2.5 days after a game against France. And lucky or not, 2-1 is a tight result. But look at Palace, what they went and did last night against Burnley. Like, they're a good side. And we've got an opportunity to go above them. Anyway, absolutely brilliant show this morning, as always. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Really enjoyed it with you. And I'm looking forward to the watch along tonight. Take care. C says, can you say we're going to lose so we jinx it? Yeah, we're going to lose 2-0 tonight. I mean, I don't actually believe that, but for the point of a jinx, yeah, we're going to play absolutely rubbish and we're going to lose 2-0. Absolutely, definitely going to happen. It's going to be hammer time for the hammers, not us. Take care, everyone. Speak to you in a bit.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling. But when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.